That's okay, because I wanted that. And originally I even started it just for that. But anyway, this lady that's been coming, she said, she goes to probably one of the most conservative Southern Baptist churches in town. Really. And, she said, when I first, after coming to the Bible Institute, I wanted to visit your church. So I came to your church, and she said, I was shocked. She said, it's been a long time since I've been in church where people say amen and praise the Lord and hallelujah and lift their hands and shout and holler. I even heard a guy whistle. We just need one now that says hot dog. Hot dog. But she said they had a visitor at their church recently, and it was a man, and said he raised his hand during the preaching, just waved his hand, and said the congregation got upset and asked the preacher to talk to him about that. I'm so thankful. I'm just so thankful for what, amen. You raise your hand all you want to in here, amen. Amen. Well, that looks charismatic. Baptists did it before there was ever a group called charismatics. Amen. It's just Baptists got so worldly they quit doing stuff like that, amen. All right. 1 John chapter 2. All that has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm going to preach on. 1 John chapter 2. Now, I said tonight I was going to preach on, how to recognize the Antichrist. Now, if you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 with me. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last time.
Yeah.
And as you've heard that, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Amen. Now, we know we're living in the last time. We know that. There's no other way to look at it. They call it, it's a big word, eschatology, which means future things. most of the Southern Baptists used to preach that they were going to win the world of Christ and it was just going to get better and better and better and better. But that's a denial of the scriptures. That's not true. And in the last times, the last days, perilous times shall come. And it's going to get worse. But he said the Antichrist is going to come. But he said, and there already are Antichrist. Look at chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar, but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, look at chapter 4, verse 3. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now, according to the Bible, Antichrist means that one that is against Jesus Christ. Antichrist. He's against Jesus Christ. He's against the gospel. He's against the death, burial, and resurrection and the preaching and teaching thereof. He's against the Bible being the infallible, inerrant word of God. He's against salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Anything associated with Christ, he is anti. He is anti. And we know we're living in the last times or last days because that spirit is more prevalent now than it's ever been.
Amen.
Than it's ever been. I was proud of our president yesterday. He signed a bill to try to get us back to biblical freedom in America.
Yes,
he had this little girl come on there, and she said that she had prayed in school in Jesus' name, and that her teacher told her she couldn't do that. And they took it to court and said, yes, she can. Now, you can't organize a prayer, and you can't lead it, unless it's outside or outside of class or something like this. So this one little girl, she made her a prayer locker.
Yeah.
And she said everybody wants to have their prayers prayed for. Put your little slip in the locker.
Yeah.
And several of us will meet around that locker every morning. And she has other little boys and girls meet her around her locker, and they pray. They get to pray. And said, her teacher told her, said, you know you're going to get attacked for that. People's going to put you nasty stuff in there. She said, I know it, but it'll be worth it. And so they do that. But you see, that's the spirit of Antichrist out there. It's our culture is now Antichrist. Our music is Antichrist. Our entertainment is Antichrist. Yeah. All that's Antichrist. If it's against Christ, it is Antichrist. Meaning it's in the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, so we know that as we get closer to the end, more and more things according to Bible prophecy are going to be against Jesus Christ. But finally, if you'll turn over to Revelation chapter 13, Revelation 13, I'm going to read you a few things. There's going to be a man that comes along. He's going to establish a 7-year covenant with Israel and then break it in Daniel chapter 9. There's a king who sets up abomination of desolation in the temple, Mark 13:14 and Daniel 9:27. There's a man called the man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians 2:1-12. There's a rider on the white horse coming in there in the book of Revelation, but he has no sword and he has no arrows. And he's supposed to be bringing peace, Revelation 6:2, but he's a fake. And then there's in Revelation 13, he's called the beast. He's called the beast, and we're going to look at that tonight. Revelation 13, if you will. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing at once. We're going to go a little bit at a time. And so, first of all, how to recognize the Antichrist. Now, the first thing is only God knows the future.
Right.
I don't know. Just like I don't know the day nor the hour that Jesus is coming, I do not know when the Antichrist appeared. I do know I won't be here.
Amen.
Because he's promised to remove me from that day of trouble. And when he shows up, it's going to be a day of trouble. I do know he's going to bring great deception. I know that. And I know I can't be deceived because I have the Spirit of God living in me. Amen?
Amen.
We can't be deceived. But somewhere, I think, standing in the shadows, somewhere, that man is. I think he is. And so I want to kind of dissect him tonight and see a little bit about him. Maybe we can help others understand how close we are to the end. That's why we need to know about him, not because we're going to see him, but because it shows us how close to the end we are. See? Now, there's been a lot of people make false predictions about the Antichrist. Some said it was Hitler because of his charisma. Some said it was Stalin. Some says it was Henry Kissinger. I saw these people that do numerology, and they took somebody's birthday and the date of this and the date of that and the date of that, and then they divided up John F. Kennedy's names by numbers and made those into letters and said he was the Antichrist. Well, I know all those are wrong because I got a little Bible knowledge, and I'm going to show you tonight how that could be wrong. But the first thing I want you to look at is Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, we're not going to go there tonight, but if you go to Daniel and Isaiah, you'll find out that those horns and those heads represent nations and leaders of nations. Leaders of nations. There's been a lot of those, and we'll get into that more in Daniel chapter 7 in just a minute. But this shows me, whenever the Bible talks about a sea like that, it talks about a sea of people. A sea of people. So he's rising up, not out of literally the water, because he wouldn't be there, but out of the sea of peoples that we're in. And he's going to stand up. And listen, he's going to look like the leader of all people. He's going to be the leader of all people. And he's going to be accepted as that. The peoples of this world's in turmoil right now, like the sea. Isaiah 57:20 talks about the people being like a troubled sea. And out of this turmoil, he's going to rise up. And that beast is the Antichrist. He's the wicked one. Amen. Now, you listen to me. He's coming not out of heaven. He's not even coming out of hell. He's coming out of the sea of the peoples that live right now. All the people in the earth, somewhere in all these different peoples and seas and nations of people, is the Antichrist. Now, He has some attributes. He has some attributes that nobody else is described to those attributes. Look at the last part of that verse 1. Upon his head is the name of blasphemy. The name of blasphemy. So I know that he is a antichrist, because blasphemy is to speak against God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. That's blasphemy. That's more than just sin. That's blasphemy. And so he's got these attributes. His father is the devil. His father's the devil. Jesus looked at some of them. He said, "You are of your father, the devil." Now, there's two kinds of people in these seas of people. There's lost people and saved people. The saved people's father is God. And the lost people's father is Satan. And we didn't even know that was our father. We didn't even know him. And he said, you'll do the will of your father. You'll do what he tells you. And we thought we were being individuals. And some of you, some young people think, well, boy, I'm doing my thing. No, you wasn't. You were doing the same thing everybody did before you. You were rebelling against God because your father was the devil. Amen. You're following your father, and you'll do what he tells you to do. And then, if you will, look at Revelation chapter 12 with me. Look at verse 3, I think it is. Yeah. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. There's those crowns and heads again. So, his father is the devil, and he's described as the dragon, the old dragon, the old serpent. That's Satan.
Yeah.
I used to work with boys, not nice boys. I was going to Bible college working at Bendix, heavy vehicle brake system, making Ford brakes for big tractor trailer trucks. I ain't rode beside a Ford tractor trailer truck since then. And, but I worked up there, and I was going to Bible college and working up there, and this young guy, a real young guy, he would, he worked on the machines. I just ran them. I'd open the door, put a piece in, lock it in, shut the door, push the button, open the door, do that all day long. But he'd come along and adjust them. He was a hippie style boy, you know, like some of us used to be. And a real hard rock fan, you know. And here I was about 24 by then, maybe 25, I don't know. And he was about my age, and he'd come by, and I'd witness to him. I'd talk to him while I was working. And he'd listen to me. He'd never heard all this stuff. He's just like some of us. He grew up ignorant, didn't know anything. And so he'd listen to me, and he was interested. And one night, I worked second shift. One night he came and had on this black T-shirt. And on the back, you know, it said, Black Sabbath, something tour. I forgot what the tour was, Satan's tour or something, you know. And it's got names of all the cities they went to, you know. Y'all remember that, don't you? All you old potheads and hippies, y'all remember that stuff. And, but on the front, Black Sabbath, their emblem is a gold cross surrounded in blackness. Y'all remember that? That was their emblem. Their insignia was a golden cross surrounded in blackness. That's why they call themselves Black Sabbath. Well, covering that cross was a big old dragon that just kind of covered it up like that. His legs were spread out and his tail was spread out, and in his hand, it was his right hand. In his right hand, he had a star, and he was covering that cross. And immediately, I knew what that meant. I doubt the people that made it knew what it meant. I doubt the singers in Black Sabbath knew what it meant. But immediately, I recognized it. It was old serpent, the dragon, covering up the cross. And in his hand, he held the bright morning star, Jesus Christ, saying, "I've covered the cross, I've defeated that, and I hold him in my hand." And when I told that boy that, his eyes got about that big. He said, "Oh my goodness, I didn't know that." He said, "Wait right here." He ran out the door, and he come back a little bit later, and he had on a different T-shirt. He had that black T-shirt in his hands. He said, "Here, do something with this." It scared him. It scared him. Now, I don't know if he ever got saved or not, but I tell you what, we see the Antichrist rising up more and more every day, more and more. And the music industry, my goodness, he's all in that stuff. And the entertainment industry. Oh my, you came, it's awful. It's just awful. And so we see the spirit of the Antichrist and the turmoil that he brings. And we know that his father is Satan. We know that. Now, Second Thessalonians chapter 2, if you will. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm just, I don't know if I'm ever going to get to my message. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 9, if you will. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, this is the man they're looking for. This is the man they want. This is their leader. This is the one that these lost people who take pleasure in all this unrighteousness and all this ungodliness, and they promote it and they pervert other people into it. This is the one they're looking for. An Antichrist. Because see, they live in, they travel in, they're surrounded by the spirit of Antichrist. Everywhere they go, it's the spirit there. And you and I can feel it. You ever went in some place you just thought, boy, I just don't, I don't know, I just don't feel right here. I think maybe I better get out of here. Well, but why didn't everybody else feel that? Because that's what they wanted. They wanted that. They refused to believe the truth. So God's turned them over to a delusion that they should believe a lie. Man, his father's the devil. Revelation chapter 13 again, look at verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet were the feet of the bear, his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. Now, Daniel chapter 7 describes those empires. Now, these are empires. There really are empires. You know, there's a lot more study than I can do tonight on that. But those things represent the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire. By the way, the Medo-Persian Empire is where Turkey and Syria and all that is now. The Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and then finally the Roman Empire. Yes. And that's what those things represent. Now, Daniel saw a one world empire coming. And that would be the empire that he would rule over, that one world empire. Now, I've always had suspicions about the United Nations. I've always had suspicions. Because you got all these nations, and they're looking for one leader. Yes. By the way, they didn't like our leader.
That's right.
He talked to them. They didn't like him.
Right.
They didn't like our ambassador. That's one woman put you straight. Nikki Haley. She'll put you straight, buddy. They didn't like her. But anytime some antichrist, like some Muslim teacher or leader comes in, they're all for that. They love that. Anytime some pervert comes in with the sodomite teachings and all that, they love that. Anytime somebody comes in and says, we got to save the earth. Save the earth. The earth don't need saving.
That's right.
You do.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Did you know you're breathing the same air that Adam breathed?
Yeah.
Did you know you're drinking the same water that Moses drank?
Yeah.
It just keeps recycling. God won't let that man. We can't mess it up. But see, if you don't like to talk about God being the creator and Jesus Christ being the sustainer, you don't want to believe that. See?
Right.
Boy, I could preach on that a long time. But he's going to be seductive. He's going to seduce people. Look at verse 3 and 4. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him? He's going to have a worldwide appeal. A worldwide appeal. Obama had a worldwide appeal. Except for Christians. And I'm not against him because he was black or half black. I wouldn't care if he was polka dotted. That is just fact. He had an appeal to the world. The world liked him. They still do. He travels all over the world making speeches and things. But he's not the Antichrist. But when this guy shows up, the whole world's going to receive him. Now, but before the Jew will receive him, or before the Arab will receive him, he's going to have to be one of them. You know, a Jew won't follow anybody but a Jew.
Right.
Now, I mean one that believes the book. I don't mean these that live in New York and they just do, you know, money and diamonds and all this stuff. I'm not talking about that crowd. I'm talking about the crowd that believes God.
Amen.
Says they do anyway. They'll only follow a Jew.
Right.
Well, an Arab will only follow an Arab. They will. They'll only follow. Now, if you get studying scriptures, and I don't have time to get in all of it tonight, but you come to the Bible Institute, and we'll eventually get on to it. But I believe he's probably going to be, I think he's going to be a Jew born in an Arab country, so that makes him an Arab. If he's Syrian, which I believe he will be, because I got scripture for that. But if he's born in Syria and he's a Jew, and Jews are all over the Middle East. They're not just in Israel.
Right.
Now, these wars that we've fought have run a lot of them out there, but they went to Israel. But there's still some there.
Yeah.
Iraq used to be about 15% Jewish. Now, I think it's 1% or 2%. Syria used to be the same way, but ISIS come through, and I think it's about 1% or 2% now. But he'll have to be, I think he's going to be a Jew that was born in an Arab country, probably Syria. That's just my opinion. Now, let's go on. He's got ambitions. He's got ambitions. Boy, does he have ambitions. His number one job will be to deify Satan. Once he gets them to rebuild that temple in Israel and he sits on that throne, he's going to sit on that throne and call himself God.
Right.
Well, he's full of the devil. That's why he'll do that. And then he wants to defy the Savior. Look at Revelation 13, verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Now, he's going to defy Jesus Christ. You ever heard anybody say, if there's God in heaven, let him strike me with lightning right now? Oh, my, that's the dumbest thing you ever thought of saying. If he was going to do that, he'd done that a long time ago. He wouldn't have to ask you to say it. He wouldn't have to say it. He'd already done it. Amen. It's just the grace of God. He lets you live this long. Amen. Amen. We were lost and going to hell and should have got killed 2 or 3 times and didn't get killed because of the grace of God. And you can't make him kill you just by saying something. But this is Satan in a body, and he's going to defy Jesus Christ, and he's going to try to take his place, and he's going to do it for a little while. He's going to be worshipped. He's going to be adored. People's going to bow to him. Look at Revelation 13:7. Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Did you see that? He's going to dominate all of society. Now, every once in a while, you'll get a news clip of some nut. There's one in South America right now that calls himself Jesus Christ. He says he's Jesus Christ come back. Reverend Young Sung Moon. Y'all remember him, the Moonies? Some of y'all not old enough to remember that joyous experience of meeting Moonies and buying a flower. And, but they were from, Korea. And then he came to America, brought his whole church with him, a couple thousand people. And then he began to promote himself all over America, and he got converts in America. He ended up buying a city block in New York City. There's a big old skyscraper in there now that still belongs to the Unification Church. That's the name of his church. Here's what he said. He said, I am Christ. He said, Adam was a Christ, and he failed. Noah was a Christ, and he failed. Moses was a Christ, and he failed. And Abraham was a Christ, and he failed. And he said David was a Christ, and he failed. And he said Jesus Christ was a Christ, and he failed. They killed him. And he said, I'm the completion of the Christ. Guess what happened to him? He died. Guess what didn't happen? Guess what didn't happen? No resurrection. Amen. Amen. But see, that's defying Christ. But he, Young Sung Moon wanted to dominate the Unification Church. Did you know the Moral Majority started by Jerry Falwell's group? Some of y'all don't even remember this, but he started a group called Moral Majority because he saw America going down the tube. Did you know that Unification Church ended up taking over that? They infiltrated it and took it over. Because to talk to them, you'd think they were Christians because they talk about Christ. Wow. You just don't know they're talking about Young Sung Moon. Right. And see, that's what the Antichrist wants to do. He wants to dominate society. Matter of fact, it's going to get so bad, and I'm not going to go there tonight, but it's going to get so bad that he's going to take control of the governments, and he's going, and what better, machinery than the United Nations to do that? And he's going to take over commerce. What better machine than the United Nations to do that? And he's going to take over currency. And what better machinery than the United Nations to do that? Amen? And he's going to take over all of that. And listen, he's going to dominate so bad, you'll have to take his mark. I wouldn't do that, preacher. Oh, my goodness, don't tell me. Look, I'm not against you if you got tattoos, but I'm telling you, a lot of this tattooing movement's getting people ready for tomorrow. Amen. There was years people wouldn't have done that, but now it's nothing. And so he's going, people say, well, it's going to be a digital thing and all this. I don't know. I really don't know what it is, but I know people's going to accept it. And without it, you're going to starve.
Yes.
And people say, well, I won't do that. Wait a minute, you left out the part that you'll be deceived and believe a lie. You'll say, this is good. They can't rob me now. They can't get my card number. They can't hack my email anymore. It's all right here, all right here. The real proud ones will put it right there. You know. But they'll say, now, everybody, it's a cashless society. There'll be no more robberies. There'll be no more killings over money. Can y'all not see this looks good? It looks good. These cash cards, they look pretty good. Amen. And so he wants to dominate society. And then look at Revelation 13, 8 through 10. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not, would you underline, not, written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation world. A believer will not worship him.
Amen.
If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised authority. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Some people say he's going to be shot. I don't know, but I know somebody's going to try to kill him.
Yeah.
And he's going to get healed. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. These TV healers. And we laugh at them, make fun of them. But think about that. You know, Satan's got a lot of power. He's going to pull fire down from heaven, just like Elijah. He's going to raise this man. This man looked like he died, and he's going to raise him up from the dead. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast, which had the wound by a sword, there it is, by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now he's going to put up a statue. Yeah, just like Nebuchadnezzar there in the Old Testament. And when they play the music, you better bow or you're going to die. Well, we're about to get to that now, you know.
Yeah.
And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. That's 666. And in reading, he says that's the number of a man because that's the number of man in creation. Yeah. Now, you listen to me. Listen. He's going to have the whole world worship him. He's going to do it with deceiving, lying wonders. When he can't do that, he's going to force them to worship him. And then not only that, he's going to control all the wealth of the world by that mark. You won't be able to buy bread. You won't be able to do anything without that. And let me tell you something. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. You say, preacher, you hadn't told us what he looked like. I sure have. You didn't pay attention. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a crook. He's cruel. He's religious. He's probably an Arab Jew. Amen.
Yeah.
And he's a very charismatic person. Very charismatic. In Matthew chapter 24, it says this in, verse 7. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 15, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. In other words, we'd have to go back and read Daniel, but they rebuild the temple and this man sits on the throne in the temple of God and calls himself God. That's the abomination and desolation. It's abomination unto God, and it's desolation from the true faith. Amen. Now, he says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be saved. Now, listen to this. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now you can't be serious and say this is not almost where we are. You cannot be serious. Our political circumstances, the political circumstances that we're in this day, and the riotous living, and the ungodliness, and the hatred and the envy and the wrath, and the deceivers and the false preachers and the false all these things, you cannot sit there and say he's going to show up any minute. I mean, you can't say he's not going to show up any minute. He's coming.
Yes.
He's probably already here. And I forgot my scripture, but another one says he has no desire for women.
Right.
Now, a lot of people danced all around that. I tried to study up on that, you know. A lot of people danced all around that. And some of them says, well, he just won't be a womanizer. I said, no, he has no desire for women at all.
Right.
Now, you can't tell me this sodomite movement that we're in is not significant. It's significant. And you get mad at me if you want to, but I got news for you. Satan is the inspiration of sodomites. He inspired Lot and his wife to move down into that ungodly city full of sodomites, and so he could destroy their family. And he had to come drag them out. And all those thousands that went in there with Lot, only Lot's family came out because they took them in there amongst those people who were inspired by a spirit of Antichrist. And I believe that's the day we live in. There's nobody that is more caustic and hateful and mean toward biblical Christianity than the LGBTQRSP or whatever else they want to put on it movement is today.
That's right.
They hate us.
Yeah.
They despise us. They hate our book. They hate our faith. They hate our families.
Yeah.
And I believe that's very significant.
Yes.
That he is going to have no desire for women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen to me. There's already a system set up for abilities. Not just the United Nations.
Right.
And its headquarters is in Rome. And the man that heads that church has no desire for a woman. Now you say whatever you want to about that, but there's a lot of stuff going on with those priests. And that system's already set up. It's a system of religion. It's a system of religious works. It's a system. Now I'm not hating Catholics. I'm just saying the system is set up. There's a lot of people being deceived. Listen. You ask the average person on the street, here's what I used to think. I was lost and going to hell. I thought Christianity worked this way. Catholic was the top of the list. That was the top of the line Christian, Catholic. Yeah, I thought that. And most of the lost world thinks that. Catholicism is the ultimate Christianity. Because it has the ceremonies and all these things and the gowns and the prayers and the smoke and the incense. And they think Catholicism is the ultimate Christianity. And then you got these poor old Baptists and poor old Presbyterians and poor ignorant Methodists and all this stuff. But if you want to be a real Christian, you got to follow the Pope. And now most Christian denominations are following the Pope again. You get in a discussion with your Methodist friend, your Presbyterian friend, your Lutheran friend, your Episcopalian friend, and you get talking about the Pope, and they think he's still the Papa.
Right.
And they'll get mad at you if you say anything against them. They will.
That's right.
It's all getting together.
Yeah.
And the trumpet's going to sound, and dead in Christ will be right, will rise first, and we which were alive remains will be called up together with them in the air. And listen, that crook's going to step out, and I think he may be a pope. I don't know. Good chance. He already says peace, peace. And the world's going to go into turmoil. And somebody's going to step out not very long after that. He's going to be a very handsome, charismatic, intelligent, educated man, and he's going to say, I've got the answers that you're looking for. We can fix this. If you'll follow me. The Antichrist wants a following just like Jesus had a following. What does he look like? I don't know. Probably has brown hair, brown eyes, olive complexion. I believe he's a Jewish Arab. Born in Arab country. I could be wrong, but I really believe that. But I know this. He's coming.
Yes.
Just as sure as Jesus Christ is going to split that sky, this man's going to show up the next day Are you ready?
Amen.
I'm ready.
Amen.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. I am not deceived. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. Y'all go ahead and follow that guy if you want to. Take his mark. Enjoy yourself while you can, because Jesus is coming back again and he's going to fix every bit of it.
Amen.
I hope you're saved tonight. Boy, there's so much I can say about that, but we're going to get into more of that in the book of Revelation on Monday nights. Let's stand. Father, thank you that we can see.